Does that music carry you away? It does me. Oh, I know you might have had a busy day at work or you've got little ones pulling at your pant leg, but just for a minute, imagine, if you would, that you're in Italy, all right? You're eating in a restaurant outside on a cobblestone street in Rome somewhere. And the smells are delicious. The sights are absolutely charming. The language maybe you don't understand so much, but there's a lot of laughing. And if you listen very carefully, there might be some singing. How would all of that factor into how you might improve the way you love your spouse? Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. All right, truth be told, in full transparency, I've really been waiting for this conversation. I love this book. It is called The Mediterranean Love Plan. And yep, I'm giggling. So let me just get to my guest so I can get the giggling out of the way. Stephen and Misty Arteburn are with us. They wrote this book together as husband and wife. And boy, the two of them know how to write. Stephen, of course, is a New York Times bestselling author. He's got more than 10 million books in print. He founded the New Life Treatment Center, and he also was the man behind Women of Faith. He's a teaching pastor at Northview Church in Carmel, Indiana, and his precious wife, Misty, is an author and a speaker and a life recovery group facilitator. She's a mom to five. She also is a wonderful author, 5+ books, including Lose It for Life, Day by Day Devotional, 1 Year New Testament for Busy Moms, and she's a wonderful speaker as well. But this book beats the band, The Mediterranean Love Plan. So Misty and Steve, the warmest of welcomes, and this is the question I've been waiting to ask you all day long. I love the book. Can I talk about this on Christian radio? Is it okay?
Well, hi, Janet.
I hope so.
That's a great question.
By the way, I just want to mention, I've never heard you so enthusiastic about any book we've ever talked about on your program.
Well, there are several reasons. One is, without divulging any personal information, when one's ethnicity comes from this background, it makes me all the happier, and it does my husband as well. So I love this book, but I love the way you derive so many commonsensical, exciting ideas to put in our marriage. And it's no joke. I mean, make me comfortable here, okay? There's some people who are going to pass out cold thinking, you can't talk about that on Christian radio. So tell me why it's okay we talk about this.
Well, Misty, you want to start? Or?
Well, I think, you know, this is great. It's so great to hear your enthusiasm. I think so much of the time we're so focused on the struggle in marriage, and we're working on ourselves. We're all trying to grow and heal. Hopefully, most of us are doing those things. And it's almost like sometimes we're trying to get to ground zero. But this book is about, you know, going above and beyond that. We certainly need to continue our life of growth and healing in Christ, but also to just enjoy. Don't forget to enjoy and have some passion. God created us to be lovers. Mm. And so this book is about how to do that well.
Exactly. So when his word says that we should... Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're on to it.
Well, I was just going to say, when the Bible says to rejoice in the bride of your youth and that the marriage bed is undefiled, I don't know why we as followers of Christ get this backwards. We've let the world, it seems to me, Steve, co-opt this and take possession rather than understanding God defined, God instituted, and he said, enjoy one another. And it's about more than just companionship and procreation, it seems to me.
Right. It is. And you know, I was just going to say that I think the reason it's okay to talk about this on Christian radio is because so much of what we talk about in building and growing passion and staying in love, it's what happens outside of a bedroom and building and attitudes toward each other and engaging each other. And the thing that I love the most is that it all ends up in Israel, where our faith is founded, and that is all of this is from God.
Yeah. What a wonderful way to look at it. I'm so glad. So you set the stage, first of all, and you make a disclaimer early on. And by the way, it's written by both of you, but for continuity of your voice, Stephen, you said you wrote it with your voice. But Misty, there are points when you absolutely infuse out of necessity, and it's fabulous because the ebb and flow throughout the book is terrific. Mm-hmm. You offer some disclaimer. If there's adultery, if there's abuse, if there's the four A's, as you call them, get counseling. That isn't for, this is not a self-help book in that area. This is how we get the passion back in our marriage. And I would imagine in a counseling setting, it's all too often heard, well, you know, the first 6 months I walked on air, but after 16 years, all I do is pick up his wet bath towels and then all the magic disappears. But I don't think that's the plan that God had in mind. So you two talk to me about that.
Well, you know, you go ahead, honey.
Well,
I'm just
going
to say that in the first 6 months. No, you go ahead. All right, you got it.
When we're in a state of, you know, just the mundane, just life has so many demands, and certainly we in America, we just are in a continual state of striving. We've got children and bills and all the things, and we just go. And so I think that just taking time to pause and really live purposefully is what this is about.
Yeah, living purposely.
And I wanted to address that first 6 months thing, because this is really kind of how this idea got started, and that is that when we got married, we didn't have a great first 6 months. And, you know, we were not sexually intimate before marriage, and so we just assumed that everything's going to be great. I did, and kind of bragged about what I thought, you know, was going to happen once we got married. And it didn't. It was a disaster, because there were just things I didn't know. And so, Misty, why don't you tell her what you were looking at online and told me about, and we did. Because it was pretty shocking to me.
Well, we were trying to synchronize. You know, early on, it's hard to synchronize. And so I was just trying to find some ways to get us the help we needed in order to get in tune with one another. So we found this this place in Arizona that does a little conference for helping couples to engage in healthy sex and lovemaking. And it was just phenomenal. We just spent the week there and learned so much. But it was really a good jump start to our marriage after we have had a little rocky beginning. So, yeah.
Well, I bet we have everybody's attention now. The book is called The Mediterranean Love Plan. It is co-authored by Stephen and Misty Arterburn, and there are 7 secrets to lifelong passion and marriage. These are uncertain times, and maybe you're feeling anxious about your future, worried about your finances, or concerned about your family. God's Word contains all the hope and encouragement we need. That's the theme of the daily devotional by Johnny Erickson Tada called A Spectacle of Glory. Request a copy when you give a gift of any amount to In the Market. Call 877-JANET-58 or go online to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. Oh, can you just hear the castanets and the fringe shawls? Oh, yes. How wonderful. And the food. Oh, we are traveling the Mediterranean for a very important reason. We are learning how to put lifelong passion back into our marriage. Stephen and Misty Arterburn have written the book, The Mediterranean Love Plan. So let me do 2 things, if I can, to get started, because, there's just, as my mother would say, there's delicious conversation here. And so I want to dive in. 2 things. A, talk to me why the Mediterranean. One of the dog-eared pages in the book that I have are the world's best lovers versus the world's worst lovers, and circled and showed it promptly to my husband. Number 2, I want you to list the 7 secrets and what they are, and then we'll dive into them. So first, why is the Mediterranean, it seems to be the wellspring for so much that we can learn about these 7 secrets?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think when you know the secrets, and I'll tell them to you, then you can just see why the Mediterranean is the place and not the United States of America. Because, first of all, they've been around a long time. And there are just things that emerge from these different cultures that we talk about here and that we've experienced. For instance, let's just look at Spain. Is there any country where they have the largest food fight in the world, 120,000 tomatoes thrown at each other. They run with the bulls. They eat dinner at midnight. I mean, it is the place where we focus on the value of playfulness and being spontaneous and not getting in a rut and doing the most predictable things ever. There's no other country where you could find that. And then look at Greece. We talk about this value of fitness and health and longevity. And there's no, I mean, that's where the Olympics came from. There's just no other culture in the world that can match that particular secret. And one of the things we talk about there is this island of Icaria, where they have the most active, fulfilling sex lives into their 80s. And they say it's a place where people forget to die and they always enjoy their lives. And so they're just things that come from there that wouldn't come from any other place.
Mm. Wow. Amazing. Well, Steve, tell us those seven secrets, and then we can do some cherry picking from some of these different countries. I want to go back to that particular Greek island first, but tell us the seven secrets first.
Well, the first one is something I really didn't understand until I married Misty, and that is attunement. And that comes really from Italy and how they're able to engage and touch and really build the art of connection and conversation. There's the secret of playfulness. I mentioned that from Spain. The secret of savoring food together, cooking, enjoying different flavors. No better place than France and especially Paris. And also the secret of enjoying beauty. We took that from every one of those countries. There are five countries that we focus on where we've been. Italy, Israel, Spain, and Spain and France.
Greece and France.
So, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And so then in enjoying beauty, it comes from all five. Then the fifth secret is shared creativity and adventures. And there, again, you know, you're talking about Greece where people do exciting things. They are out. They're active. They're involved with each other. That's also the other secret of health, well-being, and longevity comes from there. And then the blending of the sacred and the sensual comes out of Israel. And there really is something to the way that sex is portrayed there in the Jewish culture and the shocking, surprising discovery that we made in looking at some of the studies that we reported, that really Jewish women are most likely the most sexually fulfilled women of all the cultures in the world. And that just, it makes sense once you start to look at the way they're honored and all. But in the beginning, that was kind of shocking. So those are the seven.
That's so cool. All right, I want to go to attunement first, because that one I thought was interesting. I've been hearkening back a lot lately to Bill Belichick, not because I'm a Pats fan by any stretch of the imagination, but because one of the directions he gives his team on a regular basis is to play what he calls situational football, which means to be cognizant of what's going on around them. So Craig and I have been talking a lot lately about being situationally aware in our marriage. And I think this must be the attunement that you're talking about. So extrapolate that out a little bit, because I think this is a linchpin in so many ways. How can I do the other things with my soulmate if I'm not initially very in tune to where he's at?
Exactly. Yeah, I think this is probably my favorite, and I think probably the most important one. I think it's hard to accomplish if we ourselves are not in tune with God and the Holy Spirit. We're anchored and centered in Christ, and that allows us to be present and aware of our surroundings. When we are living a reactive life, tossed by the waves around us, we're swirling in our own mess and insecurity, we're not able to be very present. We're trying to survive and just make it ourselves. But the most important thing is to be grounded and centered, and then I can be present. I can see what's happening with my spouse. And if he's upset, am I more likely to be able to care for him in his upset if I'm reacting to that and making it about me? If I'm reacting to that, I can't really see what the deeper need is that he has. And so part of attunement is being anchored myself so that I can then rejoice with my husband when he's happy, show concern when he's hurting, and transcend things that I might normally want to fight back or defend against, so that we can get to the deeper issues and connect.
Yeah. Wow. Excellent. Let me take a break and come right back. By the way, I laughed out loud, Stephen, when you wrote, I'm a long way from having reached perfect Hakuna Matata. That's going to be one of my favorite phrases going forward. We're going to take a break and come right back as we continue to talk about the Mediterranean Love Plan. All the more romantic in the minor key, is it not? Walking down the streets of Paris here. We're lingering in some of these Mediterranean countries because the Otterburns say, if you're paying attention, you're realizing that there are some secrets that these people groups have that are going to help to infuse lifelong passion into our marriages. By the way, just as a personal note, I did not want to rush through reading this book. There was so much there. Listen, this old married lady's been married 46 years. Well, it's a terrible thing to say, but you can teach an old dog new tricks. And I loved what I was learning in this book. So it's dog-eared, it's underlined, and even with the gift of the Otterburns' time, you know I cannot plumb to the depths I'd like to. So you got to read it. It's called The Mediterranean Love Plan, Seven Secrets to Lifelong Passion in Marriage. So just as a cap, let me go from the attunement issue, which I think is monstrously huge. You linger in Italy on this one. You talk about the attunement as manifested by Italian men and attunement as manifested by Italian women, which was dog-eared and underlined and laughed over as I was reading it. But just give me some samples in the pragmatic. If I can't wing my way through Air Italia to Rome and I'm living in Peoria, how can I do this? How can I put this into practice in my home?
Well, first of all, an Italian woman, let's just go there, seems to be very secure in her feminine power. And she's not questioning who she is, and she sees her whole body as something great and wonderful. She has a very disarming sense of humor. She's very quirky in that way, in that she kind of tends to look at the fun side of things. And a lot of people don't realize that that's a big part of the Italian woman. So what does a man do? Well, he realizes that if he's going to attune with her, he is going to need to linger. So you really can't do this unless you plan to linger, plan to come together and have times where you can laugh and connect eyeball to eyeball. Now, here's an interesting thing. We talk about this in the book. Since we've been married, I calculated for me being out of town and illness and other things, but we've probably spent 3,000 hours in a bathtub together, face to face, eyeball to eyeball.
3,000? I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
That's good time spent.
And so it was really good time. And because every night that I'm in town, we do that for about an hour, eyeball to eyeball. And very vulnerable in that place. And I'm not expecting that everybody would want to do that or would be willing to do that or needs to do that. But the point is, it's a safe place where both of us can be vulnerable and connect in a way that we wouldn't if we just hadn't created that habit together. And so it's natural for us now. It's just part of our lives. And so
and
I suggest to everybody.
Yeah, that's not even typically a sexual experience. That is really just talking, connecting. It's a very clear boundary, the bathtub. No one else is invited. And no one else bothers us when we're in that bathtub and we can see each other. We're mutually vulnerable. And we have talked and cried and laughed and, yes, made love right out of that bathtub. It's been a whole experience of a whole life we've spent together, connecting with each other in a very safe, predictable, familiar environment for us.
Well, it's at this point the host inserts the mandatory declaration that this conversation is for married couples only. I repeat, for married couples only. All right, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So, I love that. All right,
well,
now we're just
clear
in deference
in the book,
you are amazingly clear and transparent. And I, and Misty, you just read it. You just said it. You do business meetings. You cry. You laugh. Yeah. But there's just something where it's almost a safe zone. Whether it's the physicality of a bathtub that says it's this circle, nobody can leave. We're exposed to one another emotionally, physically, so we're really going to tear down all the artificiality that separates us and get to heart talk, where we can really communicate with one another. I think that's hugely important and so tremendously practical. And I thank you for your vulnerability and your transparency in sharing that. So let me just, in deference to time, move to playfulness. And this one is challenging because there are people listening going, playfulness, really? That's what people do when they don't have money problems or health problems or employment problems. That play is a word that hasn't been a part of our vocabulary for a year. Talk to me about why this helps improve a marriage.
One of the things I love most about Steve is he's a little bit sarcastic, which is, it's one of those things that just, we struggle. We are currently in an extremely painful season in our lives right now. And it is hard for even me to talk about play sometimes. But one of the things that happens as we go through our struggles and our pain is we are going through that together. And it is us against an enemy. And we can see that, and sometimes we do lose sight of that like anybody, but we practice. And one of the things that Steve is so good about is just inserting in the depths of our pain, you know, he'll insert some sort of comment or something, and it just brings relief. And then we have those other times where we're on the opposite end, where we can really play, and we get back to roughhousing with the dog or just going on a walk with our children and laughing and really savoring their little facial expressions and all the goodness in that, and we can really laugh, and it really, really is a very good medicine, as they say.
Wow. All part of the 7 Secrets to Lifelong Passion in Marriage that Steve and Misty Arterburn write about in their book, The Mediterranean Love Plan. By the way, fabulous book, married friends. Fabulous book. Check it out at my website, inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Keep your passports handy. We're still traveling. As a Christian, how do you digest the cultural issues of our day? At In the Market, we believe that understanding happens when we bring biblical truth to expose the darkness in our world. That's what we do every day on In the Market. May I ask you to join us? When you become a partial partner, your monthly gift ensures this daily program continues. Become a partial partner today by calling 877-JANET-58 or go to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Ah, the Greek Isles, nothing like it. Ever seen those pictures in a calendar of Santorini? The blue, you cannot imagine what the color of the water is unless you see it for yourself. So what can we learn about instilling lifelong passion into our life from the Greeks? Well, that's just one of the many things Stephen and Misty Arterburn write about in their brand new book, The Mediterranean Love Plan. And they take a look at some 5 Mediterranean countries and they extrapolate out the 7 secrets to put that passion back in. It doesn't have to be just a first-year marriage. For some people, it doesn't even happen there. It can be a lifelong. That's the operative phrase here. So let me, if I can, move to this idea of the secret of enjoying beauty. Boy, I got to tell you, experientially for Craig and me, that's been huge. There's just something about renewing what we call the aesthetic spirit in our lives that just refreshes us. Talk to me about this and what country you use to pull this from.
Well, the beauty, it is not any particular country. It's all 5 because each one of them has their own unique beauty. And if you're a big fan of the arts, as we are, you know, there's just so much over there that is so rich. And, you know, I just, whenever we're there. It inspires us to be creative, and we want to go out and enjoy things that are beautiful. But ever since we got together, whether it was the beach or a mountain or desert, we have always loved and been inspired by the beauty that we've seen in nature. I mean, we were, I just remember we were at the top of a mountain one time in the snow, and it was absolutely perfectly quiet. And we just, you know, fortunately, I have her to say, hey, let's stop for a little bit and let's listen to nothing. And we've just done that. And we kind of admire the way each of us have been able to point out things that we might have missed if we weren't together. And we love being able to point something out that the other might have missed. It's really great. I want to make one comment about the value of this whole thing. We imagine this, Janet. On Monday, we were supposed to move into a house where we had movers, painters, cleaners, everything lined up. And on Monday, the people did not move out. And so we have been swirling in. We'd already sold our house, and everything was all planned. Misty did all this. And so now we're sitting in a condo with no place. You know, we don't have a home and for another month or so. And so in the midst of all that, if you don't have these kinds of things, these foundations that we built, then you get worse, you know, the stress and the pressure. But this struggle with all of this, these people that we think are quite mean, and we want to introduce them to Jesus, but it's brought us closer together, and we've grown from it. And that's what I think is the real test of this, that when you're tested, if you'll do these things, you'll grow closer together rather than let the big stress or whatever rip you apart.
Wow. Well, that's right, and it's a practice, right? We're growing and practicing, and so we practice this in every season, so that as the trials come, and they are going to come, you know, we're told we're going to have pain, but take heart, right, and be present, be encouraged. It's going to shake out, you know, and that's how we just keep holding on, and we just keep humbly practicing. That's what we do.
Wow. Well, so let me pick up on this. And this is the 35,000-foot vantage point, but I think it's hugely important because, Missy, you're spot on. We all act surprised when tribulation comes, and yet scripturally we've gotten a written guarantee that it's coming, but we're still caught off guard when it does. Mm. I find that so interesting. So if we're building lifelong passion, which is the thesis of the book, into our lives, when the stormy times come, it seems to me, Craig and I often refer to it as our little ship at sea, and that we row together rather than row apart because we'll never move in the same direction together. But having practiced that rowing together means that when the stormy times come, we're protecting one another because we've built the passion in. So the passion, the built-in passion, helps us, at least in our marriage, better deal with the pain. So this is not a cavalier conversation. This is about building some resilience in your marriage as well, it seems to me.
Right, and looking for those opportunities to have each other's back. You know, in euchre, you count on your partner, you know, for one.
Yes.
And that's kind of, you know, when I am buckling, my knees have buckled this week. Now, I am aware that this is a first world problem and that we do have a roof over our heads, you know. But Steve is so good about knowing that I feel absolutely lost right now. And so he's kicking in, helping to move us into this little apartment for a while. And he's, you know, helping to cook dinner. He's got my back, you know.
Wow.
And I know that he needs me to touch the back of his neck and scratch his head. I know that that moves mountains for him. You know, that changes his world because we practice, and we can do that for each other.
Wow, I love that. And by the way, an extra special hug around both of your necks, given what you're going through, to stop and give us the gift of 1 hour of your time. That's even more invaluable now than it was before. So I thank you so much for that. So this would be a good time for us to go to a Greek island. Because we can all get away.
I'd prefer to be there right now. Yeah, that sounds great.
I couldn't agree more. So talk to me about this particular island, Steve. I think it's so interesting where they've just taken everything we adhere to so tightly in the West and they've thrown it out the window. Talk about some of the things they do and what we can, again, apply to our marriage out of this.
Okay, well, the thing that I loved the most about Icaria was discovering that they take a nap every afternoon. I want to do that every afternoon.
Show of hands. Yeah. Show of hands. That's right.
Yeah, it's like three meals a day and a nap. And they stay up late, and they don't have, no one has an alarm clock. They sleep until they get up. Now, once they're up, they're very hard workers. You know, they really accomplish quite a bit. But they're known for their activity. In America, we walk about 48 miles a year. They walk over 250 miles a year, in addition to taking those naps. And they also have a very, very wonderful diet, and they eat all these great herbs and stuff. And they're not wealthy people, but here's the other thing about longevity for them. The elderly folks are really honored and respected greatly. It's a place of honor to be older there. And and they're, you know, they're faithful Greek Orthodox. They're very, very strong in that way. But here's what I love, and that is that when you talk to these men and women that are in their 80s, they're still being sexually intimate. They're still enjoying it, and it's something that they still grin about. I love that about these people.
So does that mean that if men don't set their alarm clocks and eat three meals a day, maybe things are going to improve in their life?
It couldn't hurt.
It probably would.
Absolutely.
So that's what I think about the whole book. It's like this, we're coming on Easter. They're like Easter eggs. You know, they're just, it's hidden in plain sight. These principles are very simple. It's just right in front of us. But to stop and really look at it, and why, what is it that makes this work?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And not only that, but I was thinking, when we talk particularly about these particular group of Greeks, doesn't the scripture say that a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life? And so if you're relaxed and you're living your life to the edge of your skin, then there's just so much more that you're enjoying rather than being pulled in so tightly because of the stress and the care of this world. So a lot of what you write about, in many respects, is just common sense. But we live in a crazy world where we've forgotten some of the basics, including how to rejoice in the bride of our youth, like the scriptures say.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I've told people ever since we met, I didn't see her when I was attracted to her. I was at a workshop that we did, and it was called a land cruise out in California, and I heard this laughter coming, and it was the most melodic, wonderful laughter, and I went over there, and Misty was there, and I met her for the first time, attracted by that laughter. And I've told people, she is a joy manufacturing plant, and she has brought so much joy to my life. And so it's kind of not difficult to continue to have the feelings for her and with her, because every day is kind of a brand new day. One of the things that I was used to is if I did something wrong, it would be held against me for 30 to 60 days, and I'd have to earn my way back in the good graces. And that was one of the things that she showed so well, was grace and forgiveness. Now, where does that come from? Well, that comes from the culture of Israel, where, you know, we're about to celebrate the ultimate act of forgiveness and grace. And so all of these things, if you will read this book and say, how could this apply to me? How could I use this? You'll have a better marriage, guaranteed. And what we've tried to look at is the married, miserable folks. There's a huge divorce rate in the Christian community, but there's also this huge, we're never going to ever divorce, but we're absolutely miserable together. And I think this is a misery reliever, if you'll get it.
Oh, wow. Wow. What a way to summarize the book, The Mediterranean Love Plan. Now, when we come back, I've saved, well, it's all good, but I think I've saved the best for last. We're going to Israel, and we're going to talk grown-up talk, okay? But this is about getting that lifelong passion back into your marriage. Husbands and wives, enjoying one another. Come to think of it, well, let me throw this question out as we go to break. That, I don't know, Bible say anything about a husband and a wife enjoying one another? Is there anything in the book that, in fact, was there a book in the book that deals with that? Think about it. Back after this. the book. It's called The Mediterranean Love Plan, Seven Secrets to Lifelong Passion in Marriage. And it is absolutely a feast of a book. I really commend it to you. Steve and Misty Arterburn, great authors, great speakers, great husband and wife. They co-authored this together. All right. Best for last, Israel. So interesting. First of all, I knew it was going to be a fabulous chapter when you quoted my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, who's written a whole book, by the way, about sex inside the Jewish community. But talk to me about this interesting amalgamation of legalism and sensuality, if I can put it that way, inside these Jewish marriages.
Yeah, well, it really is fascinating to me, and it's so wonderful to discover. And you mentioned the rabbi. You know, there in the book, we list these Jewish rules for sex, and they sound like they're the opposite, or it's opposite today.
Yes.
When you read them. Like, sex is a woman's right, not a man's right. A man has a duty to give sex to his wife regularly and ensure that sex is pleasurable for her. Sex may never be used as a weapon. The man is obligated to watch for signs of his wife wanting touching, intimacy, and consummation. And it's one of her three basic rights. And here's the big one. A husband may not vow to abstain from sex for an extended period of time. It's part of their lives. It's integrated into their lives in such a healthy way. And, you know, you mentioned the book in a book. We love the Song of Solomon so much, we named our 10-year-old boy his name Solomon. So we're really into the book inside the book.
Wow. But when you stop and think about it again, now we know that there's this representation, the symbolism, the types that are in that book as well. But it also cannot be said that this isn't a book that talks about a relationship between a husband and a wife. So I've said this on air several times. I remember as a child growing up that my mother used to say, God is a sexy God. And I thought she'd die immediately of blasphemy. And then I realized exactly what she was saying, that God designed it, God instituted it, that it was a way of God trying to speak to us about an intimacy that we really couldn't understand any other way. So it breaks my heart that you said something so right, Steve, and so powerful, that the divorce rates in the Christian church are terrible, and that we abhor the D word because that's like the unpardonable sin in the church. So we just are emotionally divorced, live separate lives, but we don't file for divorce because that would be the scarlet letter D, and we can't do that in the church. So rather than worry about the impressions, why don't we work on the repair and the reinstating passion that God himself instills in our relationship? But we seem to be making some of the wrong choices. What this book does is helps us to make some of the right choices to get that passion back again.
Well, it does. And let me tell you, we do our own studies at New Life, and we do an intimacy intensive, a weekend where we teach these very principles. And 65% of the people that come say that they rarely ever have any kind, and most of these are Christians, they rarely have any kind of sexual experience, and rare that it is ever, ever enjoyable, 65%. So there's hope if that's who you are. Don't feel bad. Just do something. I mean, you can get the Mediterranean Love Plan, one for every room of your home. You can go to a workshop like we did. Just don't be satisfied with mediocrity in your marriage.
Yes. That's right. And please, Misty, go ahead. Then I was going to say something else. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, just be willing. You know, when Steve and I were dating, I was not looking for someone to, quote unquote, complete me or to be a perfect match. I really was looking for someone with willingness to do what it takes to continue working on himself and to reach for me, reach for God. And that's what I found in him. So in marriage, as we're continuing to practice these principles, you know, we do have that hope that God is always doing a work in us. And if we're willing, he's going to keep that healing coming as we practice.
Wow. Wow. So let me go back full circle, because you did the 4A disclaimers at the beginning of the book. Someone listening says, boy, I really want this. I don't know. It hasn't been. We've been married, let me pick a number, 32 years, and it's as boring as can be, and I'm not sure we'll ever put any spark back in. Steve, where do you tell them to start? You know, 1,000-mile journey, this is the first step. Where do they begin?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there often people will call New Life Live, and somebody is doing one of those A's to them. They're abusing them, or they're alcoholically drinking, and they'll say something like, how do I forgive this person? And I go, no, 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 not the time to do that. Just like if that's happening, mm-hmm. that's not the time to try to develop intimacy. You've got to take care of the problem first. And if you're being abused or abandoned, then you need to get help yourself. You need to go to a codependency group or a support group or women's Bible study. Get help. Then you'll be able to go to the next level. But if you're looking for some magic fix when you've got something so deeply wrong, you're always going to be looking for a magic fix. It won't help.
Wow. Misty, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I just say, listen. You know, what is your spouse saying to you? Is there any truth in that? Be willing to enter into a process, not just try harder or pray about it. Yes, praying and trying, those are components, but also getting into the car and going to see a professional if you need, or a pastoral staff member, or a trusted friend. Be willing to look at patterns in our own history and be willing to take risks and to try new things and just keep looking. I mean, I just would be a broken record if I'm not willing. You know, what's that about? That's where it all starts, is willingness,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Well, and you touched on something important, and that is just giving people permission within the parameters of marriage to say, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this. We haven't yeah. tried something before, so let me see what's the worst that can happen. He says, ugh, she says, I didn't like it. Fine, then you move on. But let me give you an example of ways in which you can begin to instill passion. I love the way you two conclude the book. You talk about making a choice to having a marriage-centered marriage, not a work-centered marriage, not a kid-centered marriage, but a marriage-centered marriage. And you start that chapter with a quote from Victor Hugo. For those who don't remember, he wrote Les Mis, right? Wonderful story of redemption, forgiveness, and sacrifice. So he penned these words, I have been loving you a little more every minute since this morning. Ugh, put that on a sticky. Put it on the refrigerator. Just see how your day changes. Go ahead, try it. Go ahead. The book is called The Mediterranean Love Plan, 7 Secrets to Lifelong Passion in Marriage. Wow, just wow. I'm not speechless very often. This book left me speechless. Check it out at InTheMarketWithJanetParshall.org. My heartfelt thanks to the Arterburns. Thank you, friends. We'll see you next time.